weeks ago on Facebook, oddly again, just this past Friday, happened again. There was a post from a friend, actually two different friends, two different posts, that asked the question, what was the scariest movie you have ever seen? From this past Friday, refining the question somewhat by asking, what was the scariest movie you ever saw as a child? And the answers to me were interesting. I'm sure we all have your own answers. I'm sure we have mine. And one of the best adults scared me to death to death when I was a kid. The same beauty when the bullets that turned into a dragon. But in the post, the string that followed, there were all the answers I rather expected. The Shining, never saw it. Way into a dark, the Texan Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Nightmare on Elm Street, Psycho 4, those of you who remember. Yikes. I never took a shower again. The Exorcist, old young. But there was one movie that appeared from many of the people on that stream that just caught me off guard. It was The Wizard of Oz. Who knew? Well, it sounds like maybe some of you did, but not me. I guess I suppose now that the flight of deranged monkeys never scared me, though, especially because I suppose in my 8-year-old sophistication, I saw through it all. I don't know. But what I do remember about the Wizard of Oz is Dorothy. Ruby red slippers on her feet. Eyes closed, repeating over and over again. There's no place like we think that there is a place where it is safe. And I know that it is true that in many homes, tragically, that is not the case. But the mythos, the lure, the meaning of home, in a broader sense, is a place where we're safe, where it's the place where we belong, it's a stable place, it's warm, it's nurturing. Robert Frost, in The Death of a Hired Man, said that home is the place where, when you have to go there, they have to take you in. It's the place of last resort. If there's no place else on the face of the earth where you belong, generally is. It's certainly not the only thing in Scripture, but it's one of the biggies. You can Bible study that for months. You can preach that for years. And not run out of text. The Bible is all about going home. It's sort of the vital bond of God of the Hebrews. The migrating God of the wandering European. The God of 40 years of roaming in the wilderness. The God of Noah's Ark. For 40 days and 40 nights. You're going to find a story in the Bible that talks about being led through the wilderness towards home. Pull your concordance, look at the number 40, and just read. It's all about wilderness, and it's all about finding a way home, being led by the grace of God. He led by the grace of God who kept his promise to bring his children home to a land flowing with milk and honey. That God who made that promise and kept it to Abraham and his descendants. In today's passage, made another. I will appoint a place for my people to Israel, and I will plant them. So that they may live in their own place and be disturbed no more. So they may live in their own place. This is to be true for the children of Abraham. The promise is made to them. But just as certainly, it is true for all God's people. Children of God shall have a place. It's their own. As individual as each one of us, we all have a place in God's world. It's established by God. For you, for me, for all of God's children. Even the soldier in the land that we call our own. A place. You can look it up. It's in the Leviticus. A place that has permanence to it, that has peace attached to it, security, the things that make for life. Jesus once said, "I came that you might have life and have it abundantly." He's not talking about poverty in the sky. Talking about life here as well as in the next world. The things that make for life, God takes care of God's children first, as a good shepherd does. One of the greatest themes of the Bible is that God establishes a home for us. The first home, of course, in the Bible is the theme. All the time the children after Eden, after its loss, and all the time that God's children spend slogging through the various wildernesses of history. Always in the midst of the wilderness is the vision to find again home. That place made by God through the wilderness that we travel. Now, part of the tomorrow that comes about home is certainly about a future kingdom of God, a heaven, a final reward, a shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus, I go and prepare a place for you, and if I do that, I come again and receive you to myself, so that where I am, and you may be also in my Father's house for many rooms. And your name is on one of them. promise is also that we live our own life in this world, in this life, in a place to which we belong. A home. It's a place because when we belong someplace, it turns out that that's one of the great signs of humanity. If people make space for us, if there is some place that is ours, that has identifiably ours, our name will mailbox, if you will. Our life can flourish, our families are raised, and work is done, and love is exchanged. Human griefs are managed and healed and soothed. Our place, our home. The human hunger for home and hearth is deeply rooted. It must, it seems to me, come from God. It is expressed in the holy books of every culture of which I am aware and every age in which I have read. It is in our art and our literatures and our music. It's in the lore of our cultures. More and more of a serious living defining the American home. And what it looked like, and the pieces that made it up. And not all that long from now, 156 days, in fact, we once again hear the strains of that old song, I'll be home for Christmas. Baseball, the point is to get home safely. Jesus is everywhere for us, that the children of God shall have a place called home. I think it's better on the day of Christianity that ultimately the shepherd is the one who takes us home. One of the most endearing images I have from several visits to Jordan, the nation of Jordan, is watching a Bedouin shepherd return his flock from the fields to their sheltered home. And then after he had driven them through the entrance into their sheepfold, their particular home, he unslung his pack and laid aside his head, and he laid down across the doorway. And Jesus said, shepherd lays down his life for his flock. Jesus had actually watched that happen. And if you go and watch a shepherd in Jordan, you will too. The shepherd is the one who secures the home, the princess there. The shepherd is the living gate of protection for the sheep. Such is the promise of a place for us. Now today, of course, the quest for a home or a place is in all of the headlines. You cannot go today in our world unless you don't read the headlines or don't listen to the news. The reality of our present world is that there are millions who walk daily through the valley of the shadow of death with no home in sight. Millions who simply have no place to call home. They did it once, but it has been wrested from them. They arrive at this place of the world, pressed against the borders of another country for refuge, and then, of course, there are the homeless who live on their own streets. They have no home, no place. The United Nations Refugee Agency claims that there are over 68 million people in this world right now who have been forcibly displaced from what they had called home. 68 million. Now, in the face of 6 billion on the population of the globe, that might not sound on a percentage basis as a big deal, but 68 million people is 30 Philadelphians. Shadow of death, you and I should not be one of the evil Thank you.